Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Thursday morning. We were so close to having a celebration this morning with the Mets moving on, but it's just not going to be that easy. It hasn't been that easy with the 2024 New York Mets from the get-go. This wasn't going to be easy. Everything was set up for them, and it didn't work out. And the Brewers are a good team, and they came storming back, and Maton comes in. And he's throwing grapefruits out there, and bing, bang, boom, you're pregnant. That's the end of that, and now we have a Game 3 tonight, which got moved up to 7:08 first pitch, so that's a little bit better for us because it's all about us. And a winner-take-all, move-on-to-Philadelphia game with Jose Quintana getting the ball. I actually, believe it or not, even after yesterday, feel like the Mets are going to win this game. And if you don't trust them by now, or at least give them your faith after everything that's gone on, I'm sorry. They've proven it to us time and time again, even when I thought they were dead 10 million times, and they may not win the game, but I'm going to turn on that game at 7 o'clock saying, damn it, I believe in you guys. Go out there and show me that I'm right. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, you know, I'm doing okay, G. I mean, it's just like, it's typical. This is our Met fan life, man. We're the only team that has to, or along with Milwaukee, that has to go three games in this part of the playoffs. And it's really disappointing. I mean, I don't know how you felt, but I just never felt like the game was safe. So many opportunities the Mets had last night.
I know.
And the thing, like, if there's one thing that just kind of exemplifies what Pete Alonso is going through,
it's tripping
over your own bat.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And, you know, and after the game, he said that's never, ever happened to him before. Well, I mean, it's not time for that. And again, you know, opportunity after opportunity, and he's... And the only reason I talk about it this way with him is because the expectations with him have been huge all year, because he's been the Mets, you know, the home run hitter, the slugger, the guy we love. He's actually played a solid defense, made a really nice pick on a Lindor throw last night. So, I mean, he's doing his thing in the field. It's not really affecting him there. But, boy, I'll tell you what, he is mired in, like, such mediocrity right now, and it's in his head. And that play right there, just kind of, you're sitting there, you watch it, you know that he's going to beat this out.
Yeah,
and
you're
like, where is he?
Right, I thought he got hurt. I thought that he came up lame when he wasn't in the frame when they went to the throw to first base and he was sort of jogging. I thought he pulled a hamstring is what it was. And then you didn't really get an answer as to what the hell was going on until they came back after the break. And you're right. I mean,
it's like he's stuck. He's stuck in neutral, and it's really unfortunate because he's the guy that can do it, and I know that it's been written about, it's been talked about, we've talked about it incessantly for the entire season, and he's never, ever really cranked it up, and his September was not great. I lauded him yesterday because he ended up taking three, base on balls, and he was not trying to press the issue, and he was doing the right thing. And then last night, he had opportunity after opportunity, and just unfortunately for him, it's just, you know, baseball's a weird game, and it's just, sometimes you get mired in these slumps and you can't get out of them. And then ultimately, when you do come out of them, and hopefully maybe today's the day he comes out of it, then you go on a run all of a sudden for 2 weeks. And I feel like he is just, he's stuck in neutral. I don't know what else to say, and it's really unfortunate because he's a fan favorite. Everybody loves him. We all wanted to keep him here. I just can't imagine the Mets even remotely even thinking about that if this ends the way that it's, you know, if it ends the way that yesterday went. Like, and I don't think that's going to be. I think they're going to win today. I think I'm positive, and I feel good about the team, and the team has come back over and over and over again. They just got to be a little bit smarter about what they're doing. And unfortunately for Carlos Mendoza, he didn't press the right buttons yesterday.
No, he didn't. And I mean, when we were talking about using the bullpen a couple days ago with Maton not being available and Diaz not being available, and we felt like it was going to be Stanek and we thought it was going to be Buto, and it worked out that way. You know, going into last night, I thought because Maton didn't pitch and Diaz didn't pitch that that was what was going to happen. They were going to give the ball to Maton, they were going to give the ball to Diaz, and that was going to be it. And I actually had faith that that game was going to end 3-2. And Mendoza said with Churio, he didn't want to leave Stanek in because of the high velocity that Churio could turn around on. And that's what he loved, the Maton matchup with Churio, and it didn't work. So you're right. He didn't press the right button there. And when Maton isn't good, it looks terrible because, you know, he's a location guy. He kind of keeps you off balance.
He's a curveball guy.
Right. And then when he's out there and he's leaving the ball up like that, he looks like he's throwing batting practice. And yesterday he was for the Brewers in the eighth, and it just sucked. It just absolutely sucked.
Now it's all hands on deck, and everybody's got to be ready up for both teams, not just the Mets, obviously. And I'm sure that the Brewers will be doing the same thing. And today is going to be, I mean, to me, this is like, if what happened with Lindor in the bottom of the ninth was like the last game of the season and they needed that and they needed to go in, the euphoria surrounding that game would have been even more than it had already been. I mean, sure, it was exciting, no question, but they had to back up a doubleheader just in case. So this is it. Like, this is the game that will decide whether you're going home or whether you're going to continue to play. And this is the night where you're looking for something special from somebody, whether it be pitching, whether it be clutch hitting, whether it be stealing a base, making a great play in the field. This is the game where you sit on the edge of your seat thinking that, man, it's all now. It's all today. And I know both teams feel the same way. You'd be idiotic to think that it's just the Mets, but we are the Met fans here. So we're hoping that our guys continue to show what they have shown all season long, the ability to get up off the mat, because last night had to be really disappointing for them, because I for sure thought, and I bet you Mendoza thought this too, I got the right pitcher going against the right guys, and unfortunately when that inning is over, they have a two-run deficit.
Yeah, and I really do like the stories of these two teams being in the Mets' favor tonight, meaning that the Brewers had clinched a long time ago. You know, they really, until last night, didn't have one of those elimination, heart-pounding games, and they came through in it and late in the game. But, you know, the Mets have dealt with that for the entire year, it seems like, when you bury yourself 11 games under 500 and have to fight and scratch and claw, and it comes down to game 161 of 162. So I just feel like they're built better mentally for this, and the Brewers are going to be tight in that building, just like they were nervous last night. They're going to be tight again in that building, and they're going to feel like they have to win this game. Like, we're talking about the Yankees have to beat the Royals. The Brewers out there saying, hell, we won the division again. This Mets team is the sixth seed. We can't lose this game at home. We can't lose that. And sometimes those home games, as we talked about in football with Deshaun Watson, sometimes that pressure in these situations ends up working against
the home team. But what happened last night was the Churio home run.
Oh, yeah.
Ignited the place.
I mean, this guy, he reminds me of, so far, like when Miguel Cabrera was 19 and he came up and had postseason success, when Juan Soto was 19 and did the same thing. He's 20 years old and just,
you know. The good news is that David Stearns was all part of finding all these guys that were watching on both teams.
Good news, yeah. Yeah, this is the Stearns Bowl.
That's the good news.
Yeah, yeah, certainly. So, yeah, and as far as, you know, going back to Pete for a second, like, the Mets have done it all year without him. Even though he hit over 30 home runs, a lot of those home runs came in situations that didn't matter. I mean, this entire season's success has happened basically without Pete Alonso's help. So I'm not expecting it to happen. If it happens, it's gravy. But you know, the Mets need to, if they're going to win, it's got to be a carbon copy of what happened in game one of this series, which is that, you know, the pitching doesn't have to be perfect, but they got to continue to keep their foot on the gas pedal, continue to score runs, contributions throughout the lineup, putting pressure on them, you know, going first to third, all this stuff that we saw in game one. That is going to be the formula more so than, in my opinion, like a 1-0, 2-1 pitcher's duel. I don't
right,
think that
yeah.
happens.
And, you know, the other one was the Iglesias strikeout. I mean, I know. And he swung at a bad pitch.
Yep.
That he and the, you know, and he's a guy that's been great all year. They've had their moments, and Maton has had his moments. Look, last night it was a baseball game where the other team found the magic late in the game. And tonight it's a winner-take-all type of game. It's something as an athlete you live for. You live for these moments. You live, like, if you are the pitcher for either one of these teams, you want that ball, you want to go out there, you want to basically give your team an opportunity to win. This is what it's all about, man. This is what athletics is all about. It's a winner-take-all game. It's a game seven. It's, in this case, it's a game three. But still, it really... This is what you call nut cutting time.
Oh yeah,
and this is where you find out. Really, I mean, like if the team comes out and wins, then you know that this could be a special magical run. And depending on how this game plays out tonight and the heroics, maybe it's, you know, it's like the Tigers. Like, I think the Tiger fan thinks that for whatever reason, our team all of a sudden has found a mojo. And I bet you in the American League, a lot of people are thinking that the Tigers are a team that just might be that secret sauce team that takes it all the way to the World Series.
You know, I was starting to buy into that. I'm not saying it's totally evaporated, but I was starting to buy into that with the Mets last night with the 3-1 lead. It started to remind me a little bit of how they were unbeatable in the NLCS against the Cubs and swept them in 2015. It felt like that. It felt like after what we saw in that first game with the Braves and then game one, and then they come out and it's up 3-1. I was like, man, I was like, this team will not be denied. I mean, that's the feeling that I had. And then it went away, but it doesn't mean that it's gone yet.
Is there any way that you think, or do you think that Mendoza had any idea that Maton was going to be pitching like this? Like, could you tell?
What do you mean?
Like, I don't know. Like a manager is, and he has touched all the right bases as far as I'm concerned. We all love him. We all think he's done a great job this year. But once he gives up that home run and then it gives up with just like a ripped single, aren't you like, all right, wait a minute, time out here. Let's just take stock of what just happened. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at this. This guy doesn't have it right now.
Yeah, it would have been a quick hook. I think that Carlos Mendoza he likes to trust the guys that have gotten him there, and Maton was very good for them since coming over. So I think he was probably thinking, hell, he's going to settle down. He's going to be okay. And he's not going to give up another home run. He's going to get out of this. And we'll continue to roll. I probably, but you know, I don't even know when he had anybody getting ready during that inning. I mean,
would you have given Manaea another inning?
No, I was fine with the way that everything was handled.
Really,
how many pitches was he at? Do you have that right there?
Manaea, he had 86 pitches.
Yeah. No, I
thought he was doing okay.
He was.
I just all of a sudden you start going with this bullpen and it'd been okay, but you know, the last person I want to see is Edwin Diaz on the mound. Oh, my Jesus.
Well, you're going to in a one-run game tonight or a two-run game tonight or a three-run game tonight. Well, I heard Jerry talk about in the warm-up show that his beef was that Stanek was so good.
Just leave him in there.
Just leave him in there. But, you know,
he doesn't go for two innings normally, does he?
Especially after pitching the night before. So yeah. I understand his philosophy about, hey, the guy's just rolling. And
Jerry's a coach, too, though.
He is. Just leave him in there. But that's unconventional from what every team would do. And, I mean, and we talked about it. It was supposed to be Maton to Diaz tonight, or last night. That's what it was supposed to be. And it was. But Maton stunk. So, I mean, that's really, and you got to give credit to the Brewers, too, for coming up huge in those situations. Not just easy to smack two home runs when your back is up against the wall in the bottom of the eighth.
When a guy's throwing meatballs.
It looks like meatballs, doesn't it? When his location is off, it looks like he's
been good too. I mean, like, you know,
I know.
It's hard to, you know, every now and again a player's not gonna basically do his thing when his number's called, especially, you know, with these relievers that are asked to get three outs.
Mm-hmm.
You get three outs, it's just like a batter saying, all right, you're up here, the bases are loaded, don't hit into a double play. Or don't trip on your bat.
Right, right, don't trip on your bat.
Holy hell.
I know. It's just bad for Pete, man. You know, and he played all 162. I know that was important to him.
It's important to all of us.
That should happen. That should help him in free agency a little bit, but this obviously is not what he wanted. But I mean, it's also that there's still opportunities for him, but I have given up on the, well, maybe tonight is the Pete Alonso breakout situation.
Like, do you know when his last home run was?
September 19th.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Well, I mean, it's in all the game stories and stuff, you know? No, look at me. Someone else
did the work. I know someone else did the work. You read it somewhere.
Yeah.
I read it somewhere. That's why I asked you. I was wondering if we read the same thing.
Yeah, we did.
Okay. That is being on it. And I didn't know whether or not you were going to be on it this morning because I know we're a little bit down about what happened last night, but I'm also excited about what's going to happen today.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I spent so much of my Met fan life expecting them to be terrible in big spots. And same thing with the Minnesota Vikings, that with something like this in an unexpected year where they've been so much fun, there's really no reason to ruin my entire day thinking that they're going to lose this game up until 7 o'clock. Like, enjoy the, I mean, especially someone like me who said they would never get back to 500 and never make the playoffs. Here they are in a wild card series in a winner take all game three and with a right to go to Philadelphia for an NLDS. It's like, how could I, I mean, that's the excitement that you want throughout the day. You want to have that giddy feeling, you know?
Yeah, you're nervous? You got the butterflies?
No, not.
You sure?
Not yet. No.
No butterflies? Not yet?
No, I don't think I will get. No, I don't think I'll get that
way. Why would you get nervous? I had a hard time falling asleep last night.
Did you?
I didn't want to get out of bed this morning.
Speaking of that.
And I felt bad.
Speaking of falling asleep last night.
Yes.
So, the game ends, obviously, you know, the Mets go down in that ninth inning like nothing, like, yeah, just, yeah, got swatted away,
right? See, that's also a bad feeling.
I know. So I go to sleep, I go upstairs right after that, and I fall asleep like immediately. I was exhausted. I had a long day. I was exhausted, and for the first time in the 3 years that we've been in this house, one of the smoke alarm batteries starts going off.
Beep,
yeah,
beep.
The second I go to sleep, beep. I mean, and that is and I got to remember, there was some NFL player, some psycho who had that thing going on for like 6 months, and Kay Adams was interviewing him. I got to find out who that was again. So, but it's, and it's like so loud, it's just that one, and it's every 30 seconds. And it like
mine goes,
it reverberates throughout the house. So I don't even know where it's coming from because it's just like pinging off the walls. You know, so then Elvis is like, you know, he gets up and, you know, and then Gina, what's that noise? Is it the alarm system? Ah! So then I got to like climb up on a chair, one eye open, rip the battery out. I'm like,
usually we do that, you know, when it's, you know, daylight savings time.
Yeah.
You know, so you do that. It's coming up.
Yeah. No, I know.
Actually, we're losing daylight savings time.
Right. We're going back, fall back. Depression standard time. The sun goes down at 4:30.
So this battery went off before you really had to change it.
Yes.
I mean, that's a PSA. Every year it's a PSA. Change those batteries.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this is the absolute pits.
What was that? Was that at midnight?
No. It was like 10:45, I want to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just off. Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, so some good news here. We've got Yankees tickets to give away. in the 7 a.m. hour and in the 9 a.m. hour. But you have to be listening this hour and in the 8 a.m. hour when we're not giving away the tickets to hear a sound that will be the cue to call when we do give away the tickets at 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. So right now you're going to hear what the cue to call is going to be for 7 a.m. So
can't wait to hear this.
So let me explain this to everybody once again, just if you're, you know, you might be driving, you might be a little sleepy. Do not call now. Now is not the time we are giving away the tickets. We are giving away the tickets roughly an hour from now, but we don't know. You're going to hear the sound now. When you hear it again next hour, that's when you call. So here is the cue to call for next hour. Stash it away, file it away, get ready to call in about an hour from now.
Anal compulsive.
Anal compulsive. From John Sterling.
Anal compulsive.
Anal compulsive. So when you hear anal compulsive.
Anal compulsive.
In the 7 a.m. hour, you call 866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326. When you hear John Sterling say.
Anal compulsive.
Anal compulsive.
By the way, that voice nominated for the Hall of Fame Frick Award.
Oh, yes, the Ford yes. Frick Award.
I mean, what the hell's taking so long?
I don't know.
Holy God.
But anal compulsive.
Anal compulsive. Right.
And by the way, the Yankee game is 6:38.
Oh, it's perfect.
On Saturday. Yep.
That is just right in the wheelhouse, man. Love
6:38.
Love that.
Well, that should be the good thing with the Padres in. If they have games on the same night, they're always going to be the later game, you would think.
Yep.
You would think.
I agree. I actually tried to get tickets, got shut out. I tried. Really? I was going to go. Yeah. Shut out.
Can the Dodgers, I mean, the Padres take down the Dodgers? I say yes.
Done it in the past.
Right? Oh, yeah.
All right, Jerry, what's going on?
The guy died.
Oh, the owner died.
It's unfortunate that he doesn't get to see this.
Well, maybe he does, Boomer. You never know.
Be like when Jerry Jones goes, all of a sudden the Cowboys go to the Super Bowl.
Right. It's just like Jerry says, Jerry Recco says, you know, that hawk up in the sky could be the soul of the Padres owner soaring over Petco Park. You never know. You know? The reincarnated body.
Is one of them Tony Gwynn? Because he would deserve to.
That's
enjoy
true.
It too.
Tony Gwynn. Late absolutely. Tony Gwynn, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. The cloud.
It's a bird, you moron.
All right, what's going on over there?
We're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. Couple of highlights for you from last night's Brewers win over the Mets. Mets up 3-2 until...
The 1-1 hit high in the air to right field and deep. Taylor going back onto the track. It's gone! Jackson Chourio's second home run of the game to the opposite field has tied it up. It's the Brewers 3 and the Mets 3 as Chourio goes deep against Mantle.
Right, this guy's
okay. All right, here's the one thing. They didn't want Stanek and Chourio because, you know, Chourio hits home runs off of fastballs. So that was a fastball.
A slow fastball.
It was a 91-mile-an-hour fastball. Okay.
High velo
is
the thing.
Stanek goes 99.
Yeah, high velo.
Well, he hits anything.
Yeah, he's a very good player.
Throw a goddamn curveball.
Well, they didn't.
I mean, like, who's... What do the analytics geeks say?
To throw Maton against Chourio, and it didn't work.
Then, after they get a guy on and a double play, you think they're about to at least get out of it 3-3. But then Garrett Mitchell, who came into the game as a pinch runner earlier, gets his first turn at bat.
Adames at first, two out, 3-3, bottom eight. First pitch, breaking ball hit high in the air, pretty deep to right center, back towards the gap. It is off the top of the fence, and it is gone, a home run.
Man, that was a meatball.
A two-run homer for Garrett Mitchell, and the Brewers have gone in front.
5-3, and 5-3 would be the final score. Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Odyssey Radio, and so the series, just like that, tied up at a game apiece. The Mets had so many chances to score more runs and did poorly. 2-for-11 with runners in scoring position. Here was Carlos Mendoza. Maton paid for his mistakes, for sure.
He left a lot of pitches in the middle of the zone, you know. I thought overall stuff was okay, even though we asked a lot out of him. So, yeah, I think the cutter, too much of a play on a good hitter on Chourio. And then, you know, the breaking ball. that got him for the two-run home.
And then here was Maton himself. Yeah, it sucks to do that in a playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, it's extremely frustrating. I would have rather given that up in the regular season game. But, again, just went over, looking over the iPad, looking at the pitches. Overall, pretty happy with my pitch selection, execution.
Great.
A little bit too much play with some of them. But
you think?
I think it's just one of those situations where they just beat me today.
Sip it. Sip it, Phil.
Stop talking.
He's got Rob Solid disease. Just shut up.
Well, we'll get to him.
Or just say, hey, look, man, I am just miserable. I didn't have it tonight. They took advantage of me, and I let my teammates down.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all.
I'd rather this be in a regular season game. Well, us too.
Yeah.
I mean, but looking at the iPad, I felt pretty good about it.
I'm looking at the iPad right now, and it looked like crap.
Right, exactly. Watching a couple grapefruits.
Then in terms of Edwin Diaz, people were wondering, you know, he got the six outs, kind of, in Atlanta the other day, although that first inning was trash. He says he was not prepared to get more than four.
No, we didn't have that conversation. He told me, like, be ready to pitch four out if we need you. Because now we're not running on base in extra inning. I got to be ready if we go to extra inning and come together safe.
So he was not going to go out there to start the eighth. And then
he's going to be out there tonight.
You better hope so.
Oh, he has to be.
Better hope so. Here's Alonzo. He did have a single in this game, but also tripped over the bat on what would have been a run-scoring ground-outer fielder's choice.
Eddie, didn't you trip over your bat once during one of our softball games?
Oh, it's entirely possible. I don't have a specific memory, but I'm...
I kind of feel like you did.
Okay.
And they doubled you up from left field.
Yeah, that could totally be.
That did happen.
Or it could be one of us. Happen.
I think it did, too.
Yeah.
That happens.
Got one of us arm. Pulled a hamstring and... got doubled up. That happened.
And a quad.
And a quad twice.
Threw a ball out into left field.
Yeah.
From first base.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. NARP. Mm-hmm. Remember? NARP.
You're right. You're right.
Sorry. Here is Pete Alonso. Here is how's he feeling offensively? Because he certainly has not had the breakout.
Feel good. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm taking pretty decent at bats. I feel really consistent. Just need to keep swinging, and good things will happen. Keep swinging at good pitches and good things will happen.
So think about his last two out of three games. He has a ground ball that would have scored a run, but he trips over the bat and doesn't get to first base. And the other day, swings at a pitch, misses, and the ball hits him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would have been hit by a pitch, but he swung and missed at a pitch that hit him.
But it feels great.
Yeah. I mean, my
feeling
God,
great.
Man.
Good things are going to happen.
All right, so we're tied 1-1. So now it sets up all these scenarios. Now this
scenarios.
I want to be fair. It's complicated, and maybe we... should have the conversation before we just do these things. But BT and Sal, as they were getting the information, they wanted to get it to us and get it to us quickly as they were setting up the start time dependent on Wednesday's results.
As of right now, it was supposed to be 8:38 first pitch in Milwaukee if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But that will only happen if all four series are in a game three.
Now, do you guys have a minute? Like, we got 3.5 hours, right? We got a minute?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah.
I would like to let them take us through all these scenarios. See if you can keep your head straight.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Just give it a minute. Let it build. Yeah. All right, here we go. In a minute. BT and Sal.
Well, what if there is, I believe it's three games. It would be 7:08. And if it is two, that's going to be the 4:08 start?
Uh-huh. And if there's one, it's 3:08.
Any two-game scenarios, the Mets move to 3:08.
No, the Mets in the,
hold on, we're screwing this up here.
For any two-game scenario on Thursday, October 3rd, the Mets in Milwaukee moves to 7:08. And if there's a three-game scenario, then the Mets and the Brewers will play also at 7:08.
If Detroit series is over, for example, the Mets would play at 4:08. If the Detroit-Houston series is over, the Mets-Brewers moves to 4:08. If the Padres-Braves series is over, the Mets series moves to 7:08.
And for that to happen, San Diego's got to win, now, and then the Mets play at 7:08.
If Detroit and Houston and the Kansas City series are over, that's when you get the Mets at 3:08.
Correct.
And if the Detroit and Astros and Padres and Braves series is over, then you get the Mets back at 7:08.
Boy, that's a lot.
We're screwing this up here.
Yeah. Immediately after that, Dove finally retired. He said, enough of this. I've been here for 30 years. I finally have
figure
to leave.
Figure it out!
Wow.
I was in the car. I felt bad for him because Hoffman So I saw the email too. Well, he clearly ran in the scenarios to them because we got the email too. And instead of looking at it, Sal just starts reading it. And I'm in the car. My head was spinning. I'm like, so is it? He mentioned 308, 408, 708, 738, and 838. Like, wow.
We'll figure it out tomorrow when we get here after all these games are over.
And as it turns out, 7:08 will be the start time because everything is over. The Royals beat the Orioles 2-1. Bobby Witt Jr., the tie-breaking RBI single in the sixth. So the Yankees get Kansas City in the ALDS Game 1 Saturday night, as you pointed out, 6:38 for that start time. The Tigers beat the Astros 5-2. A.J. Hinch goes back to Houston. They take them out in two straight, Detroit and Cleveland in the ALDS.
And it's amazing. You see Cleveland, Detroit, Kansas City.
Yeah, they're going to go AL Central. How about that? And the Padres did beat the Braves 5-4. San Diego scored scored five runs in the second as they knocked out Max Fried. Five runs, eight hits, just two innings. San Diego plays L.A. in the NLDS. So I don't want to get to this from the NFL because you got the Jets taking on the Vikings in London on Sunday. So I'm going to go back to this past Sunday with Rob Saleh talking about, this is Rob Saleh, this is an AI. This is Rob Saleh talking about the cadence being a problem.
It's not AI.
This is not AI against the Broncos.
We got to figure it out, whether or not we're good enough to handle all the or ready to handle all the cadence. Cadence had not been an issue. All camp felt like our operation had been operating pretty good. Today it took a major step back.
So cadence clearly a problem.
Yeah, right, he said we don't know if we're good enough or ready.
Yeah.
For the cadence.
So then Wednesday, he was asked if they have fixed the cadence situation.
There is no cadence issue. There never was a cadence issue. It was created.
What is your relationship with Aaron now? How would you describe it?
Aaron and I are fantastic. Love the guy.
So I'm confused by the man. But yeah.
Okay. Does he understand that all these things are recorded?
I don't know why he would do that.
Didn't anybody ask him if he was in at Tiananmen Square?
Yeah, I mean, it's just he can't get out of his own way. I said it to his face at training camp that there's times where he talks and I say, just stop talking.
Yeah.
And he continues to screw it up.
The one thing I will say in defense of him, his initial discussion about the cadence came right after the game was over. And there is a level of intensity that, you know, he's kind of answering through. And sometimes you say things that you regret and then later have to come back and straighten it out.
But why not just say, yeah, we're good now?
Right. Instead of saying there never was a cadence issue that was made up.
Say we're good. Said. Yeah. That's it. Two words.
I don't know. All I know is that
he's just not good at dealing with the media. I don't know what he's good at exactly, but he's really bad at this.
But when you have 10 days to prepare and guys are jumping off sides, guys are moving around, there's all these penalties. Unfortunately, it goes right back to the head coach and about whether or not the team was ready to play.
And by the way, you gave me that London Vikings sweatsuit.
Yes.
I'm going to be wearing that tomorrow for the first time, I think, ever. I will be wearing a matching sweatsuit.
Nice.
I gave you the other matching sweatsuit.
Yeah, I know.
Track suit.
Right, I know. I haven't worn that. I wore the top, but not the bottom. But this is like the London one. It says, Minnesota Vikings Football Club on it. So yes. I'm going to show up here in a sweatsuit.
Nice. I like it.
You look like CeeLo.
Yeah, right. You see if I can pull this thing off.
And are you going to be wearing it on your walk-in from the street there?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So if I don't get stabbed to death before I get into the building, you will see me in the sweatsuit.
Sadly, that's not a crazy statement.
Yeah.
Week 5 opens tonight. Bucks and Falcons in Atlanta. Next hour, you will hear from Antonio Pierce, who did respond to all the Devontae Adams stuff. And Tyreek Hill had an odd day. We'll hear from him next hour as well.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So I think I have finally figured out why everybody hates national broadcasts. And there's a few reasons why when baseball fans hate these national broadcasts. One, it's not your own guys. You see your own guys. It's the longest season. It's 162 games. You love your guys. But the other reason is that these networks like ESPN and TBS are trying to make a game more interesting for people who don't need it to be. So baseball has become such a regional sport that the people that are watching these games generally are really interested in the outcome, and they're not just your casual fan, sports fan that puts it on that needs some extra dressing to be interested in the game. Whereas you have these networks that are saying, hey, you know, our ratings for baseball have been down. What can we do? Maybe we'll get more interactive. Maybe we'll interview this guy during the game. Maybe we'll do this. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll put the win probability up for all the gamblers. And it doesn't matter. Like, that stuff's not going to attract new viewers or keep people there.
But what it will do, piss off regular viewers exactly. Who want to watch the game and don't want to be interrupted by some stupid production person coming up with an idea that makes no sense whatsoever.
Exactly. So you have to understand, your audience is your audience. You're not going to get any new people in. You're not going to get someone who's just going to check out the baseball game and maybe hang around because they did a cool interview in between innings. No. What you're getting are you're getting people who are fans of those two teams, or maybe they hate one of those two teams and they're rooting against them, or people that are gambling on the game. Nobody, and I mean nobody, is interested in an in-game interview with one of these guys. I couldn't tell you a single time anybody, and I talk sports all day long, sometimes more than I want to, anybody has ever said, man, that was so cool what happened in that in-game interview. No, we're talking about the game. It's a playoff game. That's all you need. Like,
yeah, if you do it during the All-Star game, it's a different story. Guy's out in right field. Got
and the game doesn't matter. It's an exhibition.
He goes and makes a play while you're talking to him. You know, that's kind of a cool thing during a exhibition game. But this thing that happened on ESPN last night in the ninth inning, I didn't know whether or not to tweet that I was disgusted or not. I was assuming that everybody else was probably annoyed as I was.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. You don't need anything else. Like, you just don't. The game, especially when you're talking about, you know, a one-run game for most of the game, and then the Brewers are up two and a big bottom of the, you don't need anything else. Everything
talk to, talk to that guy after the game is over.
Right, which is going...
He's the hero of the game. Talk to him after the game is effing over, not in the middle of the ninth inning.
Exactly.
What I mean, like, why these... I've been in TV for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and I've done games. I've been around people. I know, you know, you try to do the bells and whistles thing. You like to have a lot of video, a lot of replay. You got to have the line on the field. You got to. There's a million things that are going on from a TV perspective, and TV executives think that that is what makes the game interesting. It's one thing if you're interviewing a guy and I don't know. Let's say he just scored a touchdown and put a team up 35-7 with 3 minutes to go in the game. You want to interview a guy at the sideline if you can get him? Good, I don't care. But in the middle of a one-run baseball game, and you are in the ninth inning.
Yeah, it was a two-run at that point.
But you're in a ninth inning of a playoff game.
Yeah. You really think you need extra?
You got to do this. It looked idiotic. It felt idiotic. And I'm just telling ESPN, TNT, stop it.
Yeah.
Don't do it. It doesn't do anything for the game. The game is what we're watching for.
Especially in a baseball postseason where every pitch, every at-bat means something. I mean, through the course of a long regular season, you want to do something to make sure that you're not as bored. You want to throw Steve Gelbs out there and eat a bratwurst, like whatever. Fine. Don't care. It's 162 games. But when you're a national broadcast during a playoff game, you don't need anything else. Now, this is what I need. If somebody gets hurt, I'd like an update on that. That's it. That's all I need. You know, if someone gets hurt, I want to know how bad it is. If someone's not available in the bullpen, let me know about that.
There's a feeling that when you do games, especially baseball games, but baseball games have been sped up. They aren't nearly as slow as they used to be.
Yeah.
Which really kind of holds back the Bob Costas storytelling. Thank God. You know what I'm saying? Because I just want to watch the game, and I just want to get involved in the game, and I don't want to be distracted by something like an interview in the middle of an inning. You know, I'll hang around for a post-game interview, of course. I don't mind any of that. You know, like, you know how SVP does that? Like, he'll do post-game interviews during the NBAs.
Sure.
And I love that. That's fine. I'll hang around for that. But in the middle of a goddamn game, you're giving me an interview. I know they did it also the other day, you know, with the Milwaukee Brewer player, what the hell, he's hurt.
Christian Yelich.
Yeah, Christian Yelich. You know, he's not playing, so he's going to be interviewed during the game. And I'm like, I don't really care.
Yeah, I mean, so, but this is how it happens, and you've been in a million TV meetings, I'm sure. It's like, all right, you know, our numbers keep going down for these baseball games, and it's not in a good place. You know, what do you think we can do to spice the broadcast up?
It doesn't do it. It
nothing.
Has no impact on the ratings whatsoever.
Nothing.
What will have an impact on the ratings are good games and games that don't, you know, you're not hanging around 4 hours to watch.
Yeah, with large fan bases.
Yes.
Good games with teams that have large fan bases. And the Mets are one of those teams. And all you've done, there wasn't a single Mets fan that was watching that game that wanted a part of that interview.
And by the way, there's a reason why RSNs are going by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares.
Right. Yep. True.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.